Canes Insight. What's going on? We are back again for another edition of the Canes Insight podcast, presented by Caneswear. I'm your host, managing editor of Canes Insight, Stefan Adams. And as always, you know we have a great show for you today. Big news regarding the coaching staff breaking last night. Hurricanes defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Blake Baker will be leaving his post at UM to take the LSU linebackers coach job. D Money and I will discuss the fallout of that move and what it could mean for the future of the Miami Hurricanes defensive coaching staff. Plus, earlier this week, the Hurricanes welcomed 8 early enrollees from the 2021 recruiting class, plus 3 transfers. D-Money and I are going to tell you which of the 2021 freshmen to look out for starting this spring. And we'll also go in-depth on the 3 transfers that the Canes added that are expected to have a huge impact on next season's roster. But of course, you know, before we get started, we got to check in with our friends over at Caneswear, your one-stop shop for Miami Hurricanes apparel and gear. Check out their 20, 40, 60 sale going on in store and online, where you can save 20, 40, or 60% off on select items. Or you can check out the daily deals tab at caneswear.com, where they have tons of great items ranging from hats, jackets, t-shirts, shorts, pants, jerseys, and much more on sale depending on the day. So go ahead and check out Caneswear. The cold weather season's coming up, but that doesn't mean you have to stop racking your Canes gear. And of course, Caneswear has you covered with long sleeve tees, jackets, beanies, gloves, sweatpants, and much more. All you have to do is check them out off University Drive in the Arrowhead Shopping Center in Davie, or on caneswear.com. Orders online over $99 ship for free. Plus, you can get all your local South Florida sports teams gear at Caneswear as well. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain over at Caneswear, your one-stop shop for Miami Hurricanes apparel and gear. How do you, Caneswear?
We are back here on the Canes Insight podcast, recapping the news of the week for the Hurricanes. Some big news is popping off today. Coach Blake Baker, defensive coordinator of the Miami Hurricanes, is expected to take the LSU linebackers coach job. That news just dropped today. So we got some fresh reaction from D Money and I. And we got a little talk about Miami's newest early enrollees, the newest guys from the class of 2021, just touched down on campus earlier this week. Miami has 8 new early enrollees from the class of 2021, potentially 2 more, 10 total. And of course, the transfer portal guys have touched down as well. So D-Money and I are going to talk it all out. So let's just bring them on. What's going on, D-Money?
Doing all right. Excited about the news. I think Baker's a good coach, honestly. I don't think he deserves the hate he's gotten. You see him landing at LSU. Clearly, he's a guy that has some fans in the industry. But I do think a change was needed, and it's good to get some fresh eyes on the defense, and excited about some possibilities, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Manny Diaz there with a little bit of a troll, trolling the fan base, saying he's going to keep Blake Baker, send everyone into full meltdown mode for a week or two. But finally, I guess fans got the news they wanted. So just heading with that news, I mean, leaves Miami in an open linebacker spot for the linebacker coach. And it was a spot that really struggled for the Canes last year, D-Money. I mean, there was a lot of recruiting issues in the past few years that really came back to bite Miami. Now without Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pinckney, those issues really started coming to a head this year. And they're going to have to really find a guy that can recruit this position down south. Still plenty of talent down here, and a guy that can actually develop these kids once they get on campus.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I thought a move made sense for everybody. One thing that hasn't been talked about is the financial part of this move. You know, with COVID, everybody's budgets are tight, not just Miami. So to fire a defensive coordinator who's making a good amount of money, you have to buy him out, that's tricky. And I think part of the reason why this played out the way it did was that Miami was hoping that Blake could land on his feet, get a job that was good for him, and that would take him off the books and free up that money for Miami. I think there was a report that he was making about $700,000 a year. It's not public with Miami, but that was coming from the LSU side. So the fact that he's able to land at LSU, you're happy for him, happy for Miami to move on and move on from that salary. I think that's really the big thing. So now, how is Miami going to use that salary? Are they going to bring in a play caller after Manny already said he's going to start calling plays? Are you going to see that money spent on a high quality linebacker coach? There's a lot of different ways this could go. It's very interesting. But to me, I think just the freshness of whoever comes in, the ability to have someone with a different perspective on this unit, which has struggled so badly, which in my opinion, really Manny's fault for a lot of it with his recruiting errors in 17 and 18, but it has struggled. So replacing Baker is not just, you know, getting a new play caller, because you already have Manny calling plays. It's getting a new voice in the room. And there are some interesting possibilities that come into play here with that money that just got freed up. And, you know, two names really jump to the forefront when I think about this new position. First, Bob Shoup, defensive coordinator formerly of Mississippi State, spent last year as a safeties coach at Michigan. Don't know what happened there. Something weird. Basically, in the middle of the season, he stopped coaching. And Harbaugh said it was confidential. I don't know if that was a health-related situation, if he was basically fired midseason, they didn't want to talk about it. But something happened midseason with Shoup at Michigan. I can confirm he's here in Miami now. I don't know exactly what his position would be. The word I heard before Baker was that it would be more of an analyst role. He's still getting paid by Michigan. He can do what many have done in Alabama, do it here in better weather. And I think if you do add Bob Shoup as an analyst, it is a absolute home run. Miami hasn't had a guy like that. We're talking about veteran set of eyes. That is Bob Shoup. He's been around, been very successful. Two-time Broyles Award finalist. And if you go back to 2018, which was Manny's last year as defensive coordinator, yards per play, which to me is probably the best catch-all metric for defense and offense, on the defensive end, the number one team nationally in yards per play against as a defense was Mississippi State with Shoup as defensive coordinator. Number two was Clemson. Number three was Miami with Manny and Jeff Simpson as defensive line coach. So you get that kind of brain power in a room. That's 2018. That's you know, pretty recent. Get that kind of brain power, and I think you'll be able to turn around this defense, or at least get it going in the right direction. So would he be an analyst? Would he be a defensive coordinator now that Baker is free, is gone? Hard to say, but that's the kind of veteran presence that you need in the room. Another possibility, if Shoup comes in as an analyst and Manny keys the play calling duties, is Travis Williams as linebacker coach. Travis Williams, linebacker at Alabama, at Auburn, was first team all SEC, really good player. And then when he returned to Auburn as a linebacker coach about a decade later, he produced two first team all SEC linebackers who were the first all SEC linebackers since him a decade earlier. So he had gotten done as a player, gets it done as a coach, phenomenal recruiter, recruited five-star Owen Popoe, who's a stud, just really great reputation as a recruiter, close with Miami's new defensive backs coach, Travaris Robertson. His son is actually not, and as speaking of T-Rob, Travaris Robinson's son is actually not named Travaris. His name is Travis after Travis Williams. That's how close the two are. So, you know, you could see a connection there, a fit there. He made $450,000 the last time it was publicly disclosed. So he'd be making less than Baker was making as the defensive coordinator. Again, somebody that can bring a different perspective coming fresh out the SEC and recruiting, which I think is really needed in that linebacker room after some, in my opinion, poor talent acquisition over the past five or so years, really since the Shaq Quarterman class. So that is another name. And you could add them both, Shoup as an analyst, T. Will as a linebacker coach, Manny as a defensive coordinator that has a lot of help as a DC. Now you're really, really cooking, and you've really remodeled that defensive room.
Absolutely. And that's pretty interesting. I mean, Bob Shoup was a guy that was a name that was thrown around as a possible defensive coordinator candidate 2 years ago when Manny first got the job as a head coach, ultimately settling on Blake Baker. But just goes to show you, I mean, that type of, you know, that type of coaching level being in the room as an analyst, that would be that's a huge benefit to Miami staff if they can pull that off. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll just have to see, you know, how it plays out. But two very interesting possibilities and guys that could definitely improve Miami's situation, coaching situation, and overall would really, I think, up the ante for what this staff was compared to last year. I think that it really sets Miami up very nicely going into 2021. And speaking of 2021, the calendar has switched over and we got our first, you know, idea of the kids that are going to be on campus for spring ball. Originally, Miami was hoping to try to get 14 on campus early, settled for 8 so far. There's still 2 trying to get in. Elijah Arroyo, a tight end, Andres Borregales, kicker, Thomas Davis, defensive line, Jake Garcia, of course, quarterback, Cameron Kitchens at safety, Michael McLaughlin, offensive tackles, Chase Smith at striker, and Deshaun Troutman at linebacker. Still waiting to hear if Romello Brinson and Jacoby George at wide receiver can get in.
Yeah, with Romello, there was a slight snag trying to get him in. As I understand, with the Northwestern 3, Khalil will not be coming in early. Cam Kitchens is already here. He's a Turner Tech kid, kind of like Tommy Streeter, a really smart kid. There were no issues there. Brinson, I don't think it's a qualification issue. It's just a, you know, to get him in early, there was a complication, and they're working on it. They're trying some things. I won't go into detail, but I heard there's optimism about getting him in. He has until February 1st to get in. So obviously he would be huge given the need at receiver and the opportunity to jump to the top of that depth chart. But the name that really jumps out to me of the early enrollees, and this is an obvious one, is Jake Garcia. With the Kosi not playing, Tate gone, King rehabbing, it's really just him, Van Dyke, and Matocha. And you got to think that he's going to get more reps than Matocha. So huge opportunity. There's going to be footballs flying in the air. You want to evaluate these receivers. You don't want to kill your running backs in the spring. It's going to be a lot of passing going on in spring. And I'd love to see that arms race between Van Dyke and Garcia. It's not ideal that King is hurt, obviously. It's a shame that he has to go through that. But the silver lining is you get to see these two go head-to-head and get so many reps and see what the passing game will look like in the future, see what the team will look like in the future with those guys. You might get some confidence in the program if one of those two or both of them look really good. So Garcia, to me, is the guy, fresh off a state championship in Georgia. It's been a crazy roller coaster for him the last year, but finally can settle down, learn the offense. I don't think that'll be a problem given how fast he learned the offenses in his Georgia schools and the fact that this offense isn't that complicated. So he's the one I want to see. I'm a huge Tyler Van Dyke guy, as you know. I've grown to really appreciate Garcia's game, seeing him in Georgia. So I really don't know how that battle will go. And it's a true battle, as it, you know, which is much different than if it was just Van Dyke and Matocha. This is going to be a battle, and cannot wait to see how it plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Tyler Van Dyke with King coming back, yeah, he gets that extra year to kind of prove himself on the, at least on the practice field, that that he's the quarterback of the future. But he's going to have that competition from Jake Garcia, maybe a year behind. But I don't think he's going to be slowing down at all, especially, you know, now with King out for spring. So that competition is going to be really ramping up. And it's going to be real interesting to see who actually takes that claim to quarterback of the future at Miami. I mean, for me, I really want to see Romello Brinson get in early. I think that that'd be huge for Miami, especially what we saw at receiver last year. I think there's still a ton of open playing time. Another guy coming in early, we'll talk about later, from the transfer portal, I think he's going to stake a claim to that playing time. But just in terms of the freshman, you really want to see more than what we saw from last year at the wide receiver spot. Brinson's a guy maybe needs to put a little bit more weight on, but has the talent to jump right in. And that's another reason why I think it's huge for him to get in early, just have those extra few months in the college strength and conditioning program to put that size and strength on his body to get him more prepared to possibly play as a freshman. Because Miami needs one of these freshman receivers, I think, to step up this year. We'll see who else develops throughout the spring. Miami took 4 receivers in the 2020 class as well. Still plenty of time for them to develop as well. But I think with Brinson, I mean, he kind of gives you a little bit more of a playmaker at receiver, guy that can go deep, but also shows qualities of a possession receiver, can play in the slot, can play on the outside. A guy that can make plays in this system, in this offense. The coaches are going to have to play him because the receiver production was just so down last year. Regardless of experience, if you're showing that you have the ability, I think the coaches are just going to roll with you and make time for you. And I think that's a huge advantage for anyone enrolling early, especially anyone at receiver. And I think Romello Brinson's the most likely, if he can get in, to play early from this receiver class in 2021. What's up, guys? Stefan here to tell you about our friends over at Sala, Astorita, and Cox, LLC, a boutique law firm focusing on white-collar criminal defense and security matters. They've been featured and recognized in Florida Super Lawyers, as well as Florida Legal Elite, and the partners formerly worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office and the SEC. Sala, Astorita, and Cox, attorneys at law. You can visit their website at salalaw.com. That's SALLAHLAW.com. Or call their toll-free number at 1-888-SECATTY. Well, But yeah, that kind of brings us to these transfer guys who, you know, everyone expects, obviously, that's the reason why they're brought in to play next year. Three-man class, all are expected to at least play significant roles in the rotation, if not all start. Three guys at positions of need, each one. Of course, DeAndre Johnson, the defensive end from Tennessee, wide receiver Charleston Rambo from Oklahoma, and of course, probably the biggest fish in the class, Tariq Stevenson from Georgia at corner. Just three guys you expect to make an instant impact, and all of them could really take those position groups and really make an impact their first year.
Yeah, let's start with Tariq Stevenson. This is something I got wind of pretty early. He's been unhappy with Georgia for a while. Did not change over the course of the season, although he was playing a ton. Really, I think the key to seeing his game is watching the Cincinnati game in the bowl. He was able to play that outside corner position due to some opt-outs. That's where he wants to play. That's one of the reasons he transferred to Miami. He was upset that he was forced to play that basically kind of like a striker type role. They have a different name for it in Georgia, but that big nickelback type of role in Georgia. He was promised a chance at corner, didn't get it. So that broke the trust there a little bit. And if you watch him in the bowl game against Cincinnati, he saved the game with a tremendous heads up play, you know, coming out of his guy, finding the football and breaking it up on a crucial, crucial fourth down. He's somebody with tremendous size. He's a sprinter in high school, has sub 11 speed, and I believe those electronic something in the 4.48 range at 200 plus pounds. So really big, really fast, has good footwork. You know, he's coordinated. He can find the football. I'd say his weakness would probably be just the foot quickness, just because he's so big. But when you move him closer to that boundary and away from that slot, it becomes less of an issue and you can use his size more. Extremely tough, very physical player. I think that's going to be a real improvement for what Miami's had in the past. Certainly recently, we just haven't been that physical at the corner position, despite having pretty good size. I mean, how many missed tackles do we see from Blades and Ivy last year? Stevenson not only makes those tackles, but he can bring some force with his attitude and with his size. And then the overall athleticism. This is a guy that's athletic enough to return punts. So just a huge upgrade there, an NFL type player at corner, and someone I think is really going to thrive being back home where he should have been all along. I know he was very, very close to coming to Miami before other circumstances took him away. Another guy from the SEC, DeAndre Johnson, defensive end from Tennessee. Tennessee sack leader, was the SEC player of the week early in the season, I believe, against South Carolina. He's someone I loved in high school, played at Southridge, like Tariq Stevenson. Really, I saw him against Deerfield Beach, and he was the best player on the field that day. There was guys like Jerry Jeudy playing there, you know, other top guys. And he was the one that really, really stood out to me. Just with his effort, his balance, just really, really, really good coordination. He's a smooth player, has bend. He's not like a size speed freak, but he's big enough, athletic enough, and just, again, a really good mover. Tennessee played sort of that rush linebacker role, which I don't think suits him perfectly. Really more of a true defensive end in a system like Miami's. Jess Simpson, who we raved about in the last podcast, I think will be very, very good for him. And he's someone that I think could replicate what Quincy Roche gave us this year. Speaking with Peter Rees, who, you know, he talks to scouts a lot in his role as an agent. Scouts told him that there was a day three grade on DeAndre Johnson if he would have come out this year. So that tells you what kind of talent he has, you know, a true NFL player, not like a Jalen Phillips first round freak, but a really good player who will help us and play right away and give us some size. Should set a better edge than we've had in the past. And then Charleston Rambo, the wide receiver from Oklahoma. You heard Manny talk about him on the radio. First thing he said was deep threat. I think that is his strength. You look at him, he kind of runs like Harley, looks like a bigger version of Harley. When he gets going with his strides, he really, really can run and has true speed. Had a 50-yard touchdown against Alabama in the championship, or sorry, in the playoffs a couple of years ago for Oklahoma. So you'd love to see a replay of that in Atlanta. You know, he can get behind good corners. Phil, you know, was a starter last year for Oklahoma, but Oklahoma had some young receivers rise up, kind of got lost in the shuffle. Don't love that. You'd like to see someone transferring like a Roche, who is transferring simply to get more opportunities, not because he kind of got beaten out or had his playing time reduced. So that's going to be something to monitor. But I think with the receiver position the way it is, this is a guy that with his speed, he's bigger than you would think. Not the best hands guy, not the best contested catch guy, but certainly a deep threat. And somebody who's been productive, he will be better than Mark Pope in that same role. And I think give us a deep threat that we need alongside Mike Harley, who we know what he can do.
Yeah, I think Rambo is probably the biggest boom or bust guy of the three. I think you're going to get, you know, pretty consistent production at Johnson, not star level or anything like that. But, you know, just the guy that whether he's a number two defensive end or a third guy coming off the bench in rotation, perfect depth for what Miami needs and what they've lost the past year, literally could have three high round picks at defensive end this year. So lost a lot of production. And just to have a guy like Johnson that's played a lot of football to come right in and give them depth, I think that's big. But with Rambo, I think he could really be a high level number two wide receiver, or he could kind of be a guy that potentially maybe falls out. I mentioned some of those concerns about losing some of the playing time towards the end of the season at Oklahoma, and that's exactly why he ended up transferring. But he certainly has the speed to get deep, and above all else, that's what this offense thrives on, and that's what this offense looks for: utilizing that speed and looking for mismatches in the defense, trying to exploit those speed differentials. So I think he could be huge in this offense if given the right opportunities. Of course, Tariq Stevenson, you know, what more he can say. He was a huge prospect coming out. I mean, you mentioned some of the qualities from his recruitment. Yeah, it was real close. It's funny how things kind of come full circle. He ends up back on the Hurricanes to finish out his college career. What he can bring, he can play any level of the secondary, safety, corner, even nickel. They could move him around like a chess piece. Something Manny loves to do with his guys. And I think he'll have a lot of fun utilizing a guy like Tariq. And I mean, this guy can just be a true playmaker, a guy that has first round pick potential. And Miami real lucky to end up with a guy like that after, you know, what we saw from the quarterback recruiting in 2021 to pull a guy like Tariq Stevenson after all that, all the misses and all the back and forth with the cornerbacks. That's just huge. And to be able to, you know, make that up and then some with Stevenson is it's going to have real implications for the defense this year. And, you know, if he steps up as that true number one corner, that kind of lets everyone else fall in line about into their natural roles, I think, because we really haven't seen, you know, a DJ Ivy verse and Al Blaze truly step up as a number one. Maybe those guys are a little bit more comfortable as a number two corner. And, you know, more down the line to Corey Couch, more natural in that slot. Of course, a lot of that's best case scenarios, and that doesn't always quite play out like that. But definitely a huge transfer class for the Miami Hurricanes this year. I was kind of skeptical at first, trying to see how they would follow up that De'Aaron King, Quincy Roche class from last year, and Jose Borregales, can't forget him. Those guys are all true dynamic impacts for Miami last year. But you know, this is a pretty quality transfer class as well. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. All these guys are enrolled. They're ready to go. And spring football is coming up, man. It's it seems like it's the quick turnaround from this end of season, D-Money, man. The season started a little bit later than usual, so push the end of the season back. And it seems like we've been rolling ever since.
Yeah, and the offseason is always fun with Manny. You had a better season this time. So it wasn't a perfect season, but it was a better season. So then you have that, and you still have a good offseason. And really, which we haven't even talked about, is all the folks coming back, which they should have come back. So, you know, I don't think they made a surprising decision except for maybe King, but it's refreshing to have him back. And now what you're looking at is much more of a top program look and feel, especially if you, let's just say for argument's sake, you add T-Will, you add Shoop to our staff. You already added T-Rob and Jess Simpson. These are big time coaches. This is SEC level, NFL level in Simpson's case, type of coaches. They're not Manny interns, you know? So now you have that on the defensive staff. You already upgraded your offensive staff considerably with former coordinators and Rhett Lashley as your coordinator. So that's looking a lot more professional. The depth, you're going three deep now because so many people came back, and the transfers and the very good class. That's looking more like a big time program. And again, the freshman we talked about, once you get a James Williams and a Leonard Taylor walking around, or an Elijah Arroyo, Cam Kitchens in spring, you're looking more like a big time program. The quarterback room, King with two blue chip arms behind them, big guys with passing ability and blue chip pedigree, looking more like a big time program. So all these things, you know, individually are good, but when you add them all up, you're going to go to camp, certainly spring and then August, and look at something that looks different than in the past, something that looks older, that looks more mature, that looks deeper and looks more professional than what you had in the past. So that's kind of my vibe on these moves. Are we going to be a top 10 program next year? You know, probably not, But can you make a nice leap from being the 22nd ranked program, which is what we are as we sit, to something that is sustainable and looks like a solid top 15 team? I think absolutely. Maybe with a chance of being a top 10 team. If the defense plays closer to its normal level, how much better does the team get, assuming the offense stays the same or hopefully gets a little bit better with the offensive line continuity and better play at the skill positions? It's going to be interesting. And I can't help but be excited. This Baker news with the reorganization of defensive staff, that was the first time this offseason I think people were kind of underwhelmed. Now with this and hopefully a couple moves to follow that, it could really complete the offseason and get people fired up and ready for spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to me, I think one of the biggest issues has been, you know, these scholarship numbers of 25 counters you're never going to get. It makes it so difficult to get to 85. So what can you do to make your roster more mature, a little bit older? You bring in these transfers. Miami's hit these transfer portal real hard. And they're getting these kids enrolled early for spring. By the time these kids enroll and they're in the program for, you know, 8 months, 9 months before the season started, they're really not even freshmen anymore. These guys are a little bit more seasoned, a little bit more mature. And, you know, a lot of them are ready to go, at least much more than they would be if they came in over the summer or right before in fall. So, you know, Miami got double digits last year in terms of enrolling these freshmen early. They got 8 so far this year, potentially 10. So, you know, if they're able to hit that double digits again, I think that'd be so huge. Just getting this roster, again, a little bit more mature, a little bit more ready to go. So you're limited in these scholarships. You're getting more value out of the scholarships and you're able to use more of these players actually in the game day situation instead of having to redshirt more and, you know, wait a year or two of development. So, yeah, that about wraps up the Canes Insight podcast for today. D Money, man. Great discussion on all things Hurricanes, all these early enrollees, transfer portal, and, of course, coaching news.
Yeah, let's make it through February, and then we'll be right back in it with hopefully some spring football. It's a good time to be a Cane. Maybe we'll get some of these 2022 kids committing. We'll be talking about that, I'm sure.
I definitely think it's coming more and more soon because this 2022 class, it's really been ramped up. I mean, Miami's pretty much been wrapped up with this 2021 class. So a lot of this shift in focus has gone to 2022. So while you're seeing a lot more of a push with these 2022 kids, I think there's going to be a lot of good news on the horizon. So that about wraps up this edition of the Canes Insight podcast. You guys know what to do. Stay locked into Canes Insight for all the latest on team news, recruiting news, and of course, the message board. Always great conversation going on over there. For my guy, D Money, I'm Stefan, and we out.